WGTD.org includes links to NPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, and WGTD's Facebook page.
Good morning and welcome to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show on WGTD. I'm your host, Scott Nelson, and on today's show, we're discussing Fab Labs, including Gateway Technical College's very own Fab Lab. We'll be discussing today with our very special guest, Gateway President Ritu Raju. So John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for joining us today, everyone. My name is John Zern. I'm the coordinator for Gateway Industrial Fab Lab at IMET Center.
I'm Steve Whitmore, instructor in construction sciences, and to everyone out there, Happy New Year.
So big surprise for everyone. Guess what we're going to talk about today? My favorite subject, Fab Labs, of course, right? As we always do. So we're very fortunate today to have with us the college president, Dr. Ritu Raju, and I have backstory with Ritu. We'll get to that, but first I want Ritu to introduce herself and say hello to everyone. So.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, John and Steve. It's fabulous to have a Fab Lab conversation.
No, this is great. So we're really looking forward to having the conversation about the different experiences because we're both celebrating 2 years here at the college. You've been here 2 years, and we started this program 2 years ago. But where you came from, was there a Fab Lab down in Texas?
Oh, yes, many. What a fabulous coincidence, right? Yes, so the institution that I worked in Houston, Texas, Houston Community College, had a manufacturing center of excellence. And as part of that, there was a very advanced fab lab that did 3D printing, laser engraving. It was a resource for the students. It was also a resource for our industry partners who could come in and do rapid prototyping.
Now, John, both our Fab Lab and the one down in Houston were official charters of Fab Lab. What does that mean?
Fab Labs come out of MIT in Boston, 1998. We've probably been over this before on the show. But in order to be an MIT-chartered Fab Lab, you need to meet certain criteria. So you need certain components on hand. You need to do a certain amount of open work with the community. You need certain equipment to be in there. And Gateway passed them all, of course. So we are an MIT-chartered Fab Lab. So there's electronics components. There's your five basic, I call them the MIT five, your basic advanced manufacturing equipment, which is 3D printing, laser engraving, vinyl cutting, desktop CNC, and soldering. Soldering, not computer-oriented all the time, of course, but with these five pieces of equipment, you can make anything. So Fab Labs spread far and wide. And if you think about it, over the past 20 years, these spaces have evolved a great deal. Now, I want to get back to Houston, so I'm going to go back to you, Dr. Raju, and I actually have been at the Houston Fab Lab, and Houston is an amazing center for advanced manufacturing, technical education, and for Fab Labs. And they have one of my favorite, and no offense here, I know the technical college you were at was great, but Rice University, mm-hmm. and they started a Fab Lab that was a little bit different in scope. They started with a social space where mm-hmm. incoming students were just given a table space, and they called it a design kitchen. And then they slowly built from there. So it was a social experiment before it was even really a Fab Lab. And now you can find it online. The OEM Design Kitchen out of Rice University is remarkable. And they have community partners, and they're doing groundbreaking projects. But ultimately, it evolved into having equipment that people were interested in. So that was, I think, 2018 that I came. Now, at that time, I don't know if you spoke at that conference. It was a U.S. Fab Lab Network conference. But I thought the Fab Lab was relatively new. You had a new building there. Is that correct?
At Houston Community College?
Yeah, Houston Community College.
And I do want to say the Rice Design Kitchen is a fabulous example of mm-hmm. how you can bring the community in. It's also a great example of experiential learning for students because the students got to work with real clients. on real life projects.
Yeah, and experiential learning is one of the tenets of STEM. So we throw STEM around a lot. But if you think about it, this was an incredible paradigm shift that happened in our culture. We started thinking differently. We started building differently. We started realizing that when you design, develop, and build a project related to what you're learning, you can learn exponentially more. And that's where STEM came from. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't know what STEM is. What does that mean? All it means is that you are applying the same types of concepts you would use in engineering to any discipline. And our Fab Lab, when I got there, I wanted to make it as versatile as possible. So we really only had engineering that was doing some stuff. There was freshwater, maybe a little bit of civil.
Yep.
But immediately graphic design came in. And then I expanded out and started working with construction sciences. And we went to the veterinary program. We started working with the horticulture program. I even connected us with like a local poet community. So we started doing digital art, did a show with the museum there. So there was nothing we couldn't touch.
No, and that's what's been remarkable about the past 2 years doing this show. When we first started the rapid prototyping there at the IMET Center for the engineering wing, the whole idea was to have students have a mechanism to actually contextually touch what they were designing in the computer. And that was the whole goal of what we were initially doing. We weren't even onto the Fab Labs yet at that point. And then when you came on board and we expanded the concept, it's been amazing to see how this is just expanded out into the community in a variety of different ways, far more than I ever thought we'd have shows for. But each month we find new ways the Fab Lab has reached out and touched different areas of our community. What did you see down in Houston with regards to your Fab Lab and how it interacted with the community?
Well, there were many areas where I think the Fab Lab was a way to bring people into the world of manufacturing itself, right? So there were many classes. We did like these, they did these continuing education classes. And I do want to say that while we're talking about Houston, our Gateway Lab is fabulous. Kudos to all of you for what you have, what we have here. One example is when the pandemic started, the college was approached by MD Anderson. They had a design for shields, face shields, for first responders, for essential workers. And so the Fab Lab had the opportunity to manufacture those shields. And I understand there was a similar project here at Gateway.
Yeah, we did. Dr. Janison immediately found us grant funding. We started churning out face masks. We did. We tried some basic masks, but the 3D printed masks weren't as easy to use as you might think. We did a lot of strap holders. Over the course of a little over a year, we handed out over 17,000 pieces of PPE.
Wow.
So we were making deliveries to hospitals, and there were about three hospitals that wanted as many of those strap holders as we could make. And, you know, emergency responders, firefighters, anyone who asked us. I think I even gave a box of 500 to the mayor in Racine at one point. So.
And the one thing I really appreciated was the ones that you were printing that would take the, because the things went over your ears back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a little clip that you guys kept on printing for everyone that could clip it so it wasn't just cutting your earlobes off.
Yeah, I got to say the face shields were kind of styling, right? And it's like, how did they figure that out? So you literally printed this thing that went on your forehead and then took a sheet of binder paper, clear binder cover,
right,
and they just punched holes in it and stuck it on there. But it was really fun. And it's, you know, it's a great example of how versatile these spaces can be and how they can connect with everything. Fab Labs literally change people's lives. I'll get people who walk in the door and they're just blown away because they might have been thinking of an idea that they wanted to pursue. And kids, parents bring their kids there to get their kids excited about it. And nine times out of 10, the parents end up signing up for a class at Gateway. So it's kind of cool to see, and I'm sure you experienced that. Now, you've told me, backstory for all of our listeners, I had actually met Dr. Raju before she signed on to be our president here at Gateway Technical College. And I was crazy nervous the first time she came to the lab. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to meet this person for the first time. What if she doesn't like me? And she comes in, she goes, oh, John, I met you on a tour. It was like last summer or something. So we had actually met before, and, mm-hmm. and you'd already know me, which kind of helped a little bit. So,
I think, you know, the work that we do, right, as technical colleges, it's more than the of course, we give credentials, we give all these industry-recognized certifications, but we also do a lot of community outreach. And I think that's what I'm so appreciative about, that our community sees Gateway as this incredible resource.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Now, we've over the past 2 years of this show, showcased a number of different ways that the Fab Lab has mm-hmm. enriched different areas around here. Have you ever seen any cases from your end of where somebody's life has fundamentally changed because of the Fab Lab?
Yes, so I do have an interesting story, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. So we had, again in Houston, we had a lady who apparently was looking for another department, but she somehow wandered into the manufacturing center. And she walked into the Fab Lab, and she was very fascinated by all the equipment, and there was a 3D printing process going on. So she started, you know, she had a conversation with some of the staff, and she was very interested in laser engraving. And so she took the classes in laser engraving, and independent of that, one of the things that she liked to do was to make these personalized gifts for people. So she learned laser engraving, and typically, you know, if she was like she had a niece who had a bridal shower. So she brought these Pyrex dishes in and laser engraved the bride's favorite scripture on each dish. And those were the return gifts for the bridal shower. So she was so enthused. You know, she had had a long career on the corporate world and had retired. But this really gave her, I feel like it gave her like a fresh lease of creativity. She got so excited. She learned new techniques. A lot of times, you know, the staff would say that she was spurring them to be more creative and more innovative. And she had like a whole range of mediums that she worked on. Besides the Pyrex dishes, she did like these photo frames. Just so much creativity. And, you know, the thing that we appreciated most was how age-agnostic creativity can be,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And John, one of the things that I really appreciate about the work we do here, you bring in children as young as 4 years old.
Yes, yes, they're difficult to work with, but it's really interesting to watch. At 4 years old, they almost literally cannot ascertain knowledge. They can't. They're not ready to learn. They're just reacting to their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally by the time they're five, all of a sudden they're ready to drink it in. It's pretty crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're at the preschool and pre-K four levels, we look to try and break their bubbles. So the kids become very granular, right? They like live in their own little shell. And when they get into kindergarten and they like find a friend, all of a sudden the shell becomes bigger for them. And they'll like latch onto someone that becomes like a private bubble. So our initial things are, one of the things we're attempting to do is promote digital literacy alongside mm-hmm. conventional literacy, because conventional literacy is just still crazy important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we start with just getting them to do group exercises, which is a task for pre-K and pre-K 4. But once they start to realize that what they're doing has an effect on someone next to them, that's a nice way to break down those. And then it's experiential as well. So we start with an exercise where they do a group build, but mm-hmm. then they get to see robots mm-hmm. and drive a robot, right? Or we read a story and then we say, okay, now you're going to finger draw on a screen, and then we just hit a button and it goes to the printer and you print it out and you take it home with you. And the kids are just, they're so overwhelmed with it and they're so excited. So, but, you know, you find that in older people too. Like you mm-hmm. talked about the woman whose life was changed by it. And how interesting that it was the last thing on her mind when she stumbled in, but she kept in her mind that window of possibility open. And that's one of the great strengths we see of the lab as well, is you're in an environment where you work with other people. You interact. It's a social environment. And when two people get together to problem solve, instead of two brains, they have about five brains because they come from different experiences. It overlaps differently. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of franchises like Tech Shop where you came in and there are people in just working on their projects, but you'd meet someone who might have been in the textile industry, or you meet someone who might have made clothing, or you might meet a CNC operator. And when you combine all those different skills, the creativity is astonishing.
No, one of the things that has always amazed me about the Fab Lab that we have here at Gateway and watching your different classes come in, I mean, I come from the instructor side, so I bring my students over there. We have set projects that we want to do. But the interaction between a whole set of individuals from beyond the school environment, from the community, and they're working together, and not only sharing knowledge between themselves, but experiences. Mm-hmm. You taught some of the stories that have been shared in that Fab Lab between different people of different backgrounds, of different cultures, of different age groups, where they're just relating back and forth has been phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, and right now we're seeing a push in libraries to kind of move in this direction. And what I see now is people are just generating the spaces. I get people coming all the time saying, hey, we want to set up a Fab Lab. Can you help? And I'm like, you know, it doesn't really start with the equipment. It really starts with that mindset of putting people together in a room and collaborating and being creative about. So for me, and of course, I'm not an engineer, right? I studied art. For me to see creativity folded back in on things like engineering and technical and advanced manufacturing is just astonishing, and I love it. I love every second of it because the creative aspect coming back is great. Now, I'm gonna tell a personal story here. So I do a lot of outreach. I do a lot of public speaking. I talk to people all the time. Now, I ran into Dr. Raju at the, Power Up event, right? It was about 3 weeks ago, right? Now, I'm in there. I didn't know she was going to be there, right? So I set up a bunch of stuff to show kids cool things, right? And then I went to the presentation, and I was standing there, and I realized, oh, there's Dr. Raju. So she comes up and she takes a selfie with me. Now, I was very impressed with your presentation. Now, I'm gonna pitch this one right over the plate for you, but she was the last speaker in a line of about four speakers, and they were all awful. They were like, everything was statistic. Everything was boring. So Dr. Raju gets up there. She drags up my buddy. She drags up Marcus and Marcel's, who are one of our Gateway friends' kids, and she like immediately starts throwing T-shirts into the crowd. All right, how did you think of that? How did it happen? That's a great, tell it from your side here.
Well, last year was my first doing it, and you know, this is again very much in keeping with the theme that we're talking about, right? That you tailor the experience to your audience. Right. So, John, I love the way you have those thematic sessions. You do something for Valentine's Day or Mother's Day or Father's Day, right?
Right.
I think that's the key, that, you know, you have to connect with your audience. So we just need fun ways to make that happen.
That was really fun.
Very similar to what you do in the Fab Lab, right? Yeah. If we brought them in and we talk to them about coding and theory, right? How soon would you lose them?
Yeah, I don't teach, I just have fun.
But that, I think that was the whole thing. It's that personal connection. Cool. And the Marcus and Marcellus, I know them well too. So it was really nice to bring them on. And I think just being able to get the audience excited.
Yeah, it was fun, it was engaging, and at the end of the day, it was about affording your education. So this is something that blew my mind when I first started at Gateway. There are so many parents and so many kids who are still hung up on the concept of you need to go to a university. You need to go into a four-year UW system. Just the way we get technology now has changed that so radically, and the numbers don't support it. And that's what I loved about your talk. You were just like, you hit everybody right in the numbers. It's like, you can save this much money. I don't know why. You're like up there going, I don't even know why we're having this conversation. You know, you just got to go to Gateway. So the value of technical education and getting associate's degrees is mind-blowing to me, and the careers are amazing. And you're talking to someone who spent 6 years in a university, and I don't use my degree. I'm in an engineering field, and I studied art. So it was great for me just to see you dispel all that mythology with the students, all that mythology with the parents and administrators. And I think it would have gone down a little differently had you not been the last speaker, but you were able to play that up as well. So well done. Did you know that the alderman sent us a thing saying good job? He clipped out the newspaper article and sent it to me.
State senator.
I was going to bring it and show it to you.
Oh, so. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But you know, to the point, right? I think it's important to find ways to help our community understand the value that Gateway provides. And a Fab Lab is a great way to pique that curiosity. You know, a lot of people, when they come and visit the IMET Center, they say, oh my gosh, there are many other schools that don't have all this, right? We just had the Girl Scouts. We're setting up a partnership with the Girl Scouts of Southeast Wisconsin. They were so excited when they visited. You were there. They were so excited to see the facility. The Girl Scouts also do a lot of STEM outreach.
Yep.
And they were really excited about, you know, partnering with Gateway to do that. I know they had the video of Jetson. Right?
That's our robotic dog, for those of you out there.
Programmed by AI.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've worked with many Girl Scout troops. I've worked with about three different troops.
Mm.
And we've reevaluated different ways they can get badges related to advanced manufacturing. There's badges now in things like 3D printing and just understanding things like advanced. Now, I know we're winding down. We want to remind you out there that if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at fablab@gtc.edu.
What was that email, John?
Oh, thanks for asking, Steve. That's fablab@gtc.edu. So reach out and let us know what's going on. Special thanks again to Dr. Rita Raju.
I have a question, if I may, for all of you. So I think the Fab Lab is probably one of the coolest buildings I've ever been in. And I talk about it all the time to people outside of work that ask me from time to time. And I try to explain what it is from like a dummy standpoint. And I say, they make guitars. But could you explain exactly what the Fab Lab really does? Who can be involved, and how, if someone's listening out there wants to become involved in it, how do they get more information on the Fab Lab itself?
So we think of the Fab Lab as being a place where people can go if you've never had an opportunity to run a 3D printer or a laser engraver. So a lot of the equipment that's come out in the last 20 to 30 years, people are unfamiliar with. So it's an opportunity to expose yourself to it. And it's also a way that you can realize building things. So it's primarily open to the public. Anyone can come in the door, but you do want to go online and check our events calendar to look for an open lab, which you can find at gtc.edu/fablab, and there's an events calendar there. But it's just a place for everyone to come experience advanced manufacturing.
Not only that, but it's a place where you can develop micro skills. So small little skills, whether it's a skill in 3D printing or a skill in this or a skill in that. And once you have these skills established, now you can take the creative side of yourself using those skills and be able to create a lot of amazing things.
Yeah, and we can come to you. So anything you can think of, I encourage people to just stop by and talk. You'd be surprised how your imagination will run, but We can do events for business partners. I'll have people coming in going, you know, we make bags for potato chips. Why would we use a Fab Lab? It's like, well, we could just come and do a night where your employees get to play and blow off some steam. The same thing with, like, art. It's like, how is art connected to advanced manufacturing? It's like, well, the tools for the artists change as well. I've had English teachers who are like, how am I going to use the Fab Lab? I go, well, you know, what discipline doesn't use measurement to figure out if they're doing good or bad? So you could look at precision measurement and apply it to things like language. Mm-hmm. You could do something simple like write a poem and then engrave it on something physical, or you could just let your kids have fun, right? So there's ways to connect and encourage
you to
reach
out. The one I was funny with is the dental hygiene instructor and her students were in there. They were making teeth, large-sized teeth, to showcase the different types of teeth in the mouth.
I wanted to CNC carve gums out of pink foam, but they're like, no, that's just way too overboard.
It's just whatever you can think of that you want to help showcase what you think of in your mind to actually create it for real life, mm-hmm. so it contextually can be there. That's what the Fab Lab's all about.
Yeah, and if you reach out to the page, you can find my email address. You're welcome to reach out to me if you want to set something up or you're interested in coming mm-hmm. out. We've expanded our homeschool groups. Now we have two networks, and we're up to about 40 different kids. And we're looking at folding in 4-H over the next semester. Just a lot going on.
One of the things that was really cool years ago when you first started, you had a big screen TV in the middle of the Fab Lab and showcased like 12 different Fab Labs throughout the world.
Yeah.
And you could sit there and wave at each other and bounce ideas off.
Cool.
That whole interconnected network fell apart after a while.
That was really cool. That came out of MIT.
Right. That was an MIT initiative where they were broadcasting from all the different Fab Labs. And it made you feel more part of a whole group. And that was what was really nice.
Yeah, I like to think of Fab Labs now as evolving into what I call the next generation labs.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Raju, you talk about micro-credentials. You know, we can do certifications in there, but there's those little silos of interest that people have that we can accommodate.
Mm-hmm.
And now labs are basically shifting into other areas. The landscape is shifting to just be whatever institution needs it to be. And that's kind of the next generation of labs.
But while still maintaining the immense knowledge and dominance that we have in rapid prototyping, because we haven't lost that.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of manufacturers around the area mm-hmm. are amazed that we have that ability to go from the CAD system to plastic rapid prototyped straight into the CNC all within one building.
Yeah, and we're finally getting to a point where our business partners are starting to look for training in these areas mm-hmm. where it might have just been something like CNC. So we can provide you with whatever you need. I'm going to be working with Racine Public Library in the next couple of months to just generate printer classes for people who've got printers for the holidays.
Yes.
So, you know, you can start there if you want or come and check it out.
This is great work. Thank you for letting me sit in and listen and share.
It's our pleasure to have you here.
And you know, when you think about it, we live in a 3D world, right? So having that 3D perspective and making things in 3D mm-hmm. is awesome.
What could be more intuitive than existing in three-dimensional space?
Right.
So why not jump in and study it and use it to make cool stuff?
But not just 3D, but create that environment
mm-hmm.
where everybody's welcome and everybody's part of the
yes.
team.
Yeah.
And you share the experiences. Like I said, the thing that has been most impressed with the Fab Lab over the years is when you have a bunch of people from a vast different backgrounds all collaboratively mm-hmm. sharing ideas and sharing stories.
And I think the most interesting thing is you don't need to have any prerequisite knowledge, right? It doesn't need any programming knowledge or engineering. You know, a concept can be translated.
One size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks so much to our very special guest today, Gateway Technical College's president, Dr. Ritu Raju. Thanks to all our listeners. I'm Scott Nelson for WGTD. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
See you.
Thank you.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha